The text is the gospel reading. You use that expression, tempted to believe. You say, I'm tempted to believe the IRS doesn't know its own tax code. I'm tempted to believe the economy is never going to get back on track. I use it, and with this text, I mean it literally. I want you to go home today tempted to believe. The first thing I'm tempted to believe based on this text is that there is no way I can do what Jesus did. I can't do in a community of believers on a full stomach what Jesus did alone in a desert on an empty stomach. I'm tempted to believe if this text is about how I am to overcome temptation, I may as well have stayed home. Jesus parries the devil's temptation each time with a quote from Deuteronomy. He uses none of his divine powers he has as God. He uses the very Bible that we have but seldom actually use. Each passage Jesus cites is from a time when the Old Testament church was in the desert and failed to stand. I'm tempted to believe I'm more like them than Jesus. Now, two chapters after the Lord miraculously delivered them from the Egyptians pursuing them, they lusted after the good food they had while enslaved in Egypt. They said, "There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. You take my physical comforts away, or my physical needs aren't satisfied, and I resist right quick against God and His caring for me. If I could have, I would not only have turned stones into bread, but into meat, into drink, and into a flat screen TV. I'm tempted to believe that there is no way for me to do what Jesus did. What gods wouldn't I worship if they could deliver as promised? 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls the devil the god of this age. Jesus himself calls him the ruler of this world and the prince of this world. Faustian deals with the devil are real. The Old Testament church was tempted to make them in the wilderness. The pagan worship all around them looked grander, more prosperous, and above all else, was doable. If you did this, their God would do that. The God of here and now, the God of pleasure, the God of mammon, the God everyone else bows down to quite happily, seems a lot better to serve than the God who promises death to self, crosses, and many tribulations. I'm tempted to believe I can't pass any test involving temptation. How many times do I think, if God really loved me, He would do this or that? And the Pentecostals who go on about the miracles they see God doing in their life, they tempt me to believe God's holding out on me. How blasphemous is my thought that unless God does what I want, when I want, or even what He promises when I want, well, then He isn't God. If my going to heaven hinges on my overcoming every temptation, my first lust of the flesh, my first nod to an idol, my first test of God condemns me to hell and to Satan laughing with delight the day the music dies for me. Therefore, I'm tempted to believe that what I won't do, can't do, Jesus did. Hebrews 4 says Jesus was tempted in all the ways we are. He felt the lust that is like a knife, edgy and dull, cutting a 6-inch valley through the middle of his soul. He knew temptation that makes your mouth water. His 40-day experience wasn't fun or easy, but soul-dunning, body-draining, and very, very tempting. How come I can say that? Because by saying Jesus was tempted in all the ways I am, Scripture invites me to know His temptations based on mine. I'm tempted to believe that Jesus went through what I go through with one important exception. Hebrews 4 says He was tempted in all the ways we are, but it concludes by saying, yet without sin. Jesus tells Peter that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. Satan does the same thing to you, tempting you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And what he finds is great lumps of unbelief, lust, pride, despair. But not in Jesus. In the upper room, Jesus says, "The ruler of this world comes, but he has nothing in me." When someone makes a Faustian deal with the devil, the end scene is usually the devil collecting. Something of his, the man's soul, belongs to the devil. And he pulls and he drags the man, body and soul, into hell. And the man is screaming, begging, dealing all the way. In the text, the devil is sifting Jesus. And he finds nothing of his in him. The devil returns, the text says, at an opportune time. That's the time of the betrayal, the trial, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. And still, there's nothing of his there. No lumps of fear, no lumps of loving or trusting something else more than God, no misusing the name of the Lord, no failure to rely on God's word. But Jesus is dragged to hell anyways. Why? All those times you give in to temptation, so many that you couldn't recall all of them even from a single day. All of those were put on Jesus. On went that lustful look, on went that word of gossip, on went the thought that God is unfair to you, on went that despairing of his promises. All that unbelief and misbelief were piled high and heavy on Jesus. You can sum up what happened to Jesus this way. God the Father didn't answer the prayer Jesus taught us to pray when he prayed it. He wasn't given his daily bread for 40 days. He was led into temptation. The text plainly says Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in the desert where he was tempted by the devil. In fact, Jesus was delivered into evil. The last petition of the Lord's Prayer can be translated, "the evil one." Who led Jesus up to a high place? Who led him to Jerusalem? The devil, the evil one. I'm tempted to believe that Jesus did the impossible. He was put into a rainstorm of sin, but never got hit by so much as a drop. He was thrown into a mud hole, and he came out clean. Time and again, Jesus proved the devil had no beachhead in him. He had no place to land, no pride, no worry, no lust, no greed from which to base his operations. Yet still, the Father sent this unsoiled, unspotted, unsullied man to the devil. And on the cross, the Father does what he did here, abandoned him. This is no less heartrending than a child calling mommy, mommy, or daddy, daddy in the middle of the night and the parent hearing, but not answering, let alone coming to help. That's horrible. And that's the gospel I'm tempted to believe. And I'm tempted to believe it was all for me. The Father abandoned the Son to the devil, cross, damnation, and death. And the Son suffered these for us men and our salvation. For men who are so temptable, so sinful, so contemptible in our sin and sinfulness. Luther said that if a man is alone when tempted, he cannot overcome temptation, either of the flesh or the spirit. And because of Christmas, we're never, ever alone. A Luther Christmas hymn says it best. Oh, then rejoice that through his Son, God is with sinners now at one. Made like yourselves of flesh and blood, your brother is the eternal God. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. Ye are safe. None, not one he will or can forsake who him his confidence doth make. Let all the wiles the tempter try, you may his utmost powers defy. Jesus didn't enter the desert or climb up on the cross for his sake, but for yours. He didn't need saving, you did. He didn't need to withstand temptations or to die miserably, painfully, and damnably on a cross to overcome the devil. With but a word, with but a finger flick, with but a thought, the perfect God-man could have defeated the devil. be tempted to believe it was all for you, in your place, on your behalf, and be tempted to believe it was the most, it was more, far more successful than you've ever dared to believe. Your salvation has never rested on your ability to withstand, overcome, or overpower temptation. It has always and only rested on Jesus, the one who was tempted just like you are every day, but did not sin. There's not a temptation that you've given into that Jesus did not feel and withstand. Where you have been tempted to unbelief and gave in, Jesus did not. Where you've been tempted to lust and gave in, Jesus did not. Where you have been tempted to see God angry, unloving, and uncaring and did, Jesus did not. Even when chased about in the desert or hanging helpless on a cross. So how do you access, how do you have, how do you celebrate, how do you use Jesus' victory over temptation? I'm tempted to believe it can't be through the law. The more you use words like must, should, and had better, the more you empower temptation and the tempter. Everyone knows that about dieting. The more you tell yourself you must not eat this, you should eat that, and you ought to eat that, the deeper the valley cut in your soul and the more your mouth waters. People, pastors, or books that give you the impression you can overcome on temptation by something you do, whether using the Bible, singing a song, thinking a happy thought, or having a pure one, they are preaching despair or self-righteousness to you. Not Christ. Luther loved to tell how a nun sorely tempted by the devil would be delivered. She would say, Christiana sum, I am a Christian. Luther says that when the devil heard that, he immediately fled from her. Sounds too good to be true? Here I've been trying to outsmart the devil, outdiscipline the devil, or outpious the devil. And the simple words, I am a Christian, send him running. I'm tempted to believe that that's too good to be true. But this is exactly what Scripture says. Jeremiah 4:7, James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he, Jesus, that is in you than he, Satan, that is in the world. I'm tempted to believe that I cannot believe these things too much. I'm tempted to believe that the devil flee from my baptism like a vampire from holy water. I'm tempted to believe that the one little word that fells Satan is absolvo. I'm tempted to believe that the body and blood of Christ that are in me are many times greater than he that is in the world. And I'm tempted to believe that even if I didn't believe any of it, it would still be true, and the devil knows it. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.